One thing that makes me incredibly grateful is about a year ago, my dog, Harvey, had a stroke. And luckily, he's pretty much fully recovered. But my dog is like my child. So for me, it was this absolutely horrendous experience. And it really gave me a new lease on life, where I just little moments of being there and having him around brought so much joy. So now, just for me, even just we live in an apartment block, just taking him outside so he can go for a short walk is something that brings a huge amount of joy. Just, and it's allowed me to be a lot more present in the moment. So I've made this a non-negotiable thing. I do every single lunchtime. I take a walk outside. I leave my phone behind. I get some fresh air. I'm present with him. I'm walking along the river. It brings a huge amount of happiness to me. Because I know that that brings joy into my life, I've made it a practice I do daily. So it goes back to that individual of what brings joy. And then you have to force yourself to be present in the moment. So how do you remove anything that could distract you? Usually that's your phone, it's devices, it's something that's stressing you out. Whatever that is, how do you actually make sure that that's not getting in the way so that you can be in the moment and feel more of it?
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today's guest is a best-selling author who's worked with CEOs and business leaders in 15 countries. He's currently in the build-up of his new book, Maybe You Should Give Up, 7 Ways to Get Out of Your Own Way and Take Control of Your Life, which is hitting the stores in June. But until then, we will be having this very interesting conversation about mindset, overthinking, self-sabotage, and other very interesting things that we will get into with our guest, Byron Morrison. Welcome, Byron, to the Gratitude Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me on today.
My pleasure. So let's know a little bit more about you. I wanted to keep my intros short so that you can help us understand more about where you come from and how you got here.
Yeah, sure. So my journey to what I'm doing today very much began over a decade ago. At that point in my life, to be honest, I really wasn't in a great place. I was struggling with my weight. I had no confidence. I was stuck in a job that I was burnt out, and every single day was a challenge to get through. And it was so frustrating for me because I knew that I was capable of so much more, but I was nowhere close to my potential. And then my dad got cancer. And during his treatment, he had most of his bowel surgically removed, and he spent 25 days in ICU, most of that on life support and breathing through a tracheostomy. And that for me was the wake-up call that something had to change, because luckily he pulled through, which is something that I'm eternally grateful for. But that took me on a journey of transformation where I was determined to turn my own life around. So that got me into personal development. I started learning everything I could about mindset, nutrition, changing behaviors, and really focused on getting my life on track. Once I did, I took everything I learned and it went to be the foundation of my first best-selling book, Become a Better You. And I started my business helping people from around the world really take control of their lives. That's really built up over the last 7-8 years, where I've had the opportunity to work with people in 15 different countries. I've written 2 more best-selling books. And one of the things I've seen time and time again is the biggest reason most people struggle to change is because they get in their own way. They know what to do, but inevitably they sabotage their own success, which was something that I had struggled with for so many years on my own path. So that was why I took everything that I learned from helping people really get out of their own way. And it's gone into be the foundations of my new book, Maybe You Should Give Up. So yeah, that's very much just a bird's eye overview of what I've been doing for the last decade.
Wonderful, wonderful. And just as a side note, which I think it's really interesting, you have we have a relationship, a bond in the sense that your better half is Romanian, right?
Yeah, she is. She's been in the UK for over 10 years now. But yeah, we do generally go back to Romania about once a year or so, a bit less since the pandemic and everything hit. But yeah, I think we'll probably be going back in the next few months.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. So yeah, the first thing that I wanted to ask you is, what does it mean to actually take control of your life?
So for me, taking control of your life is all about figuring out, okay, what is the life that you actually want to be living? And what do you need to do to turn it into a reality? Because every single person's got goals and dreams and the way that they want their life to actually look. But a lot of the time we settle for less, or we don't take action on the goals that are going to get us there. So this is where a lot of people start getting frustrated, because they're spending their days in jobs or careers where they're unfulfilled, where they're in relationships where they're not happy, where their health is not at the level that it wants to be. So it's all about figuring out, okay, what does the life that you want to be living look like? And what do you need to do to actually get there and take control of it?
Mm-hmm. And what are the things that people usually sabotage themselves with?
Generally, across the board, I find the biggest areas that we sabotage ourselves are in our health, our relationships, and then also our professional success. It varies from person to person, but it's very much when someone is in a situation where they're not happy with how things are going for them. They know what they need to do to change it, but inevitably their actions are counterproductive and they end up actually getting in their own way. It's like someone who's on a diet who knows that in order to lose weight and get in shape, they need to eat healthier and exercise. But then they have a long day and they go and eat a tub of ice cream, or they just don't feel like working out that day, so they skip the gym and sit on the couch watching Netflix. So it's whenever you know what you should be doing, but you just don't do it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And how can we start to shift this? Like, for instance, if like in our case, our listeners want to start the gratitude habit, how can they apply what you just said so that they won't sabotage themselves?
So for me, one of the biggest reasons why most people don't achieve their goals is they focus too much on what they want and they don't figure out who they need to become in order to make it a reality. So that's why the first place I always start with people that I'm working with is we need to figure out who is that next level version of themselves. Who is that version of them who's actually achieved their goals? Because once we have that clarity, that's when you can reverse engineer the journey. And anyone listening to this now can do exactly the same thing. Just think about, okay, who do you want to be in 90 days? What do you want to have achieved? And what does that version of you look like? With that in mind, how do you reverse engineer the journey? What is that version of you who's achieved their goals, done every single day, that's got them to where they are? That's going to show you the habits, the routines, the behaviors that you need to take on and build to get you to where you want to be. And then when you in situations where you don't want to follow through, you can no longer rely on your current level of thinking, because your mindset and behaviors that got you to where you are isn't going to help you become that person. So in those moments, you really need to catch yourself and think, what would the person I want to become do right now? Would they skip the gym? Would they eat that bowl of ice cream? Or would they hold themselves to a higher standard? Sometimes just having that mental conversation with yourself and putting yourself in the shoes of the person you want to become can be exactly what you need to do in order to take action. So you're taking willpower and motivation and everything else out of it. And you're just focusing on, okay, if I want to create this life, this is what I need to show up as in order to make it happen. So that, for me, that's very much the first step in starting to build momentum and confidence.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So basically, having a clear picture of who we want to be after a while, like in 90 days or so, and going back from that and taking the right steps so that we can actually become that version that we visualize, basically, right?
Yeah, and it also helps you create a plan, because a lot of the time people go into wanting to make changes just hoping for the best. Whereas if you sit down and really think about, okay, this is where I want to be in 90 days, what actions would I need to take to get there? And the reason why I like 90 days is it's tangible. whereas a year is a really long time and so much can change. Whereas if you think 90 days in the future, you can map it out. Okay, if this is where I want to be, what would I need to do every single week to get there? Then weekly, you can reassess. You can think what went right, what didn't go as well, where do you need to pivot and change course, and you can track your journey along the way. So when it feels tangible, you can actually start making progress. And this is one thing that I see so many people getting in their own way, because they just focus on the end result, but they don't figure out the actions they need to actually take. So it's just really breaking it down on a foundational level of, okay, this is what you need to do to get there, and then pushing yourself to show up and do the best you can every single day.
One of the things that are guaranteed to connect you to gratitude is going out in nature. I love nature. And seeing how much plastic waste we are producing made me think of ways of cutting back. One thing I'm always throwing in my recycling is those huge laundry detergent bottles. But did you know, 500 million of those bottles end up in landfills and oceans every single year? That's why I made the switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. They come in plastic-free packaging, so they're more eco-friendly than traditional detergent. It's an easy way to get clean clothes without all the plastic waste. Get 40% off with your subscription at earthbreeze.com/gratitude. That's earthbreeze.com/gratitude. I've also included a link in the resources section of this episode so that you can easily access it with just one tap. This show is sponsored by Liquid IV. You know by now that my favorite beverage is water. It keeps me going physically, mentally, and emotionally. Keeping hydrated is key, especially during the holidays when we're always on the go. From the cold outside to the much too hot interiors, we tend to sweat and to forget about the core good habits that end up making us feel drained. With convenient packets of Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier or Sugar-Free Hydration Multiplier, you get 8 vitamins and nutrients, 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, and no artificial sweeteners. Making a smoothie or a fruit juice can be cumbersome, but with the true-to-fruit flavors, you and your family will keep hydrated in a much more enjoyable way. Dare, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by LIV HydraScience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. Even more so, it's non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Stay hydrated through the holidays with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code GRAT at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code GRAT at liquidiv.com.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And let's take an example. So like I said, if we want to become a grateful person in 3 months, in 90 days, so that would mean that we would be most of the time grateful and much more cheerful. And so how would we break that down? How would we know which are the steps?
So you need to figure out, okay, what does that look like in your mind? So if you say, okay, I want to be a more grateful person in 90 days, you need to be clear on what would that actually look like. So what does that mean for that person? Then you can start figuring out, well, in order to, what's missing right now that you're not doing that's stopping you from being grateful? So that could be a case of you're too caught up in the stresses of everyday life and you're not taking time to spend with your family or to reflect on your progress or to take some time every single day to stop and really think about what went right, what you need to be grateful for. That could mean that those are the key things that you need to begin with. So it could be taking some time at the end of every single day or every morning to just stop and be like, okay, this is what's going right. These are the things that are really working for me. I'll give you a perfect example of it. One thing that makes me incredibly grateful for is about a year ago, my dog, Harvey, had a stroke. And luckily, he's pretty much fully recovered. But my dog is like my child. So for me, it was this absolutely horrendous experience. And it really gave me a new lease on life, where I just little moments of being there and having him around brought so much joy. So now, just for me, even just, we live in an apartment block, just taking him outside so he can go for a short walk is something that brings a huge amount of joy. Just, and it's allowed me to be a lot more present in the moment. So I've made this a non-negotiable thing. I do every single lunchtime. I take a walk outside. I leave my phone behind. I get some fresh air. I'm present with him. I'm walking along the river. It brings a huge amount of happiness to me. And this is because I know that that brings joy into my life. I've made it a practice I do daily. So it goes back to that individual of what brings joy. And then you have to force yourself to be present in the moment. So how do you remove anything that could distract you? Usually that's your phone, it's devices, it's something that's stressing you out. Whatever that is, how do you actually make sure that that's not getting in the way so that you can be in the moment and feel more of it?
That's wonderful. And I totally agree with this. We need to schedule time to be away from all of these things that are always trying to get our attention. There are so many things nowadays too that are trying to get us to pay attention to things that might or might not be relevant for us in the moment, and it just creates a state of anxiety. It's instead of enjoying the moment, the experience that we're having in that moment, we're just in a reactive mode, and that's not the best place to be. And I love the idea.
Yeah, I talk about that a lot in my book, Maybe You Should Give Up, where one of the biggest really destroyers of our happiness is our tendency to focus too much on the future and problems that haven't happened yet. And the issue with that is a lot of the time we can build them up in our mind as this huge catastrophe. So we put ourselves through all of the stress and overwhelm. And then in the end, it's not actually that bad. And that's why one of my favorite quotes is, if you stress about something before it happens, you're essentially putting yourself through it twice. And that's why one of the central themes of the book is getting someone to slow down, to stop focusing on the past or the future, and instead pull their attention into the present. Because as cheesy as it sounds, happiness doesn't come from some outcome off in the future, and instead it comes from the process. And the process takes place in the present. And this is why for a lot of the time, when you want to be happy and grateful and fulfilled, it comes down to you being able to be in the very moment, to center and ground yourself with what's actually going on. And this is something that I see so many people struggle with, because their attention's always on what they need to get done, or they're focusing on problems that may come up, or they're just living in the past, focusing on things they can't change. And it's just going back to that reactive state of mind that just leaves them stressed and overwhelmed, where they can't actually enjoy life. So for me, it's all about recognizing that and then doing the best that you can, because no one's perfect. You're never going to have this clear, amazing state of mind all of the time. But it's whenever you can, just centering yourself in what's going on and really feeling more of life.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And it's so important. And you can have a great success in many areas of life. And if you're not able to enjoy it, to be present to it, and you're just reacting to different things, it's, you just don't see it, basically. It's just like it wouldn't happen. So I think this is an important habit to internalize, to make sure that you give yourself the time to be present and the time to not be in that reactive style of being anymore. And I love what you just said regarding the fear and the fact that you're living it twice. I think it's gratitude is on the opposite of that, in the sense that if you're grateful in the moment and you're present, you're enjoying that experience once. But when you relive it, when you write it down, or when you think about it in the future at some point, like what we do here on the podcast, we look at each year and we write down the beautiful things that happened in each month of the year, we get to relive those moments. So it's really interesting. Like, it's the opposite of that fear that we live what could happen bad, what could go wrong, and possibly if that actually happens, we live it again. But yeah, in many cases, it's just something that we imagine. And it's sad from my point of view that we give so much time and energy to these kinds of things when there are so many other things that are going right in life, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I love your approach of writing it down, because I'm a huge advocate of journaling and self-reflection, because I find the problem for a lot of people is we normalize the way that life is. So something that you were struggling with 6 months ago, maybe you had a big challenge in your career or relationship and you really focused on improving it. The fact that you've made these big changes, you've just got used to them. So you've forgotten what you were going through back then. So this, for a lot of people, gets them to really forget how much progress they've actually made. So they get frustrated with the fact that they're not further along. And that's why by really tracking it and looking at where you were, you can take a moment to look back on, okay, that's how life was 6 months ago. Look at all of these amazing things I've achieved. Look at how far I've come. Yes, you may not be where you want to be at yet, but you've still come a very long way. And it also helps put into perspective the fact that you're never going to get to where you want to be. Whatever your goals, dreams, and ambitions are right now, as soon as you get close, that goal line is going to move. And this is why for a lot of people, they live in this internal struggle where they feel like they should be further along, or they get frustrated over the fact that they haven't made the progress that they want yet. And they live in this never-ending cycle of just feeling deflated that they're not at the level of success they want to be. And that's why for me, it's all about balancing your big goals and desires with actually recognizing where you are and the progress that you've made. That's how you find happiness and fulfillment along the way.
Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. According to the EPA, indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases up to 100 times more polluted. Data shows that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths globally. We are fortunate enough to live outside the city with easy access to it, and a green meadow view outside the window. The not so fortunate part is that when we open the windows, we can hear all the constant traffic close to us, and the air quality isn't the best. Aside from that, our neighbors have a passion for using all kinds of fossil fuel motors to build or cut grass. I love doing breath work, I'm sure you do too. And it's in those moments when you breathe deeply that you become aware of the quality of the air you breathe and how important it actually is. So what's the solution? Introducing an air purifier that captured the attention of established media outlets such as CNN, Money, ABC, and more. Air Doctor. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold, and even bacteria and viruses, so your lungs don't have to. All Air Doctor purifiers also feature whisper jet fans, 30% quieter than ordinary air purifiers. Air Doctor also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code GRATITUDE, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code GRATITUDE.
Exactly. I love this because, like you said, the goal line always moves, and we can feel deflated along the way, regardless of whether we achieve a goal or not, because whenever we achieved it, we have the tendency to get used to that level, and after a short while,
we just think about the next goal. And if we have this habit of not appreciating where we are, not appreciating our progress, that goes with us basically until the end of life, because that's how we tend to do things. So that's why I believe it's important, as you mentioned, to appreciate the progress, to appreciate where we are, because this is growth. This is how we evolve, and it would be a pity just to be in a state of dissatisfaction, of frustration of where we are right now, because we are not further along the way. It's just a waste of energy in my perspective. But I also wanted to get to speak a little bit more about your book, Maybe You Should Give Up. Give up on what?
So for me, when I was first had the idea for the book, I wanted to go with a really negative title, because it immediately pulls your attention in, especially because the whole self-development and self-help world is all about positivity and all of these fluffy inspirational quotes. So I wanted to get something that really stops you, that goes completely against that. But the book itself, even though it sounds negative from the title, it's actually about positivity and happiness. Because I found over the last few years that there's 7 key things that all of us hold on to that are stopping us from living the life that we want. And these are being highly reactive, living in fear, focusing on the future, getting too caught up in the past, being too hard on ourselves, comparing ourselves to other people, and then ultimately putting off our happiness. So the book itself is all about giving up on all of the things that are stopping you from living the life that you want. So as an example, with one of those I gave of living in fear. So whether you are fearing starting that business, because what if you fail? You're fearing speaking to that person, because what if you get rejected? We all have these mental stories and these thoughts that hold us back and stop us from living the life we want. So it's all about giving up on those mental barriers that are weighing you down, so that you can finally actually become who you want to be. So the book takes you through these 7 different journeys where you need to give up on these things weighing you down. As every step that you take, you feel lighter, you feel more in control, and you're one step closer towards where you want to be, where finally you can give up putting off your happiness, because you've overcome the reactive mindset, you've overcome living in fear, you've overcome getting caught up feeling anxious over the future, and you're able to be in the present and finally be happy and become the best version of yourself. So that's why it was designed and written in that way, to really take the reader on this journey to taking control of the life they want.
I love this. Maybe you should give up. And it's something, like you said, it's seemingly negative, but actually there are things that if we choose to give up, they are going to be they are going to help us become more free. And that's so important in the way that we make decisions, in the way that we live our life.
Yeah.
And
my problem with a lot of the self-help and personal development world is there's become this message that's been ingrained in people that if you want to achieve success, you have to keep pushing and you have to keep trying harder and you have to just give everything your all. And I'm not saying you don't have to work hard, but at the end of the day, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results. And this is why so many people are stuck, because they're trying the same strategy and repeating it, making a little bit of progress, and then when it doesn't work, they get deflated, they quit, and then they try again and again. And that's why for me, it's all about giving up on what isn't working. It's figuring out, okay, this is the life that you want to live. What is holding you back? What are the things that you need to let go of that are stopping you from reaching your potential? Because if you look at any successful person, they give up all the time. Just take Elon Musk as an example. Regardless of how people may feel about him personally, there's no denying that he's had a huge impact on the world. But if you go back through his history, he's failed in spectacular fashion so many times in the public eye. But whenever something wasn't working, he gave up on the idea. He stopped trying to force it to get it to happen, and he pivoted and tried something new. And that's the central theme of the book. It's all about figuring out what are the things in your way that you're holding on to that are causing you to sabotage yourself and getting you to give up on them so that you can finally actually get out of your own way and take control of the life that you want.
What a wonderful idea. It just sounds easier or more simple to knowing that you need to give up on some things that rather than, like you said, pushing and putting even more effort into things. Because, yeah, we can take a lot of action and it can bring us some sort of success. But if we're not able to enjoy that success and we are always pushing, at least in my view, it's not actually success. It's just some kind of achievements that are seen as such by others. But if they're not inside, if they don't feel the same, they don't have as much value. So yeah, it's usually that we have some things that we need to give up on to be able to be lighter, to be light enough to move forward easier and more effortlessly, actually.
Yeah, a perfect example of that is in section 6 of the book, tying into exactly what you just said. It's all about the theme of giving up being too hard on yourself. Because I find with a lot of the people I work with and speak to, they're their own worst enemy. They have these big goals and desires, but they've also set unrealistic standards and expectations for themselves. And as a result, no matter what they achieve, they never feel like they're enough. They might have this amazing win or this huge success in their life, but they're mentally go straight to, I could have done it quicker. Someone else did it better. I could be doing more right now. So they're never happy because they're always focusing on what's missing rather than what they've done. And this, for me, makes such a negative state of mind because it's always focusing on what's lacking rather than what they've actually done. And that's why a big theme that I talk about in the book is tipping the scale in a way that you're not lowering your goals and ambitions, but instead you're finding that balance where you know when you've done your best, when you can take a moment to be like, do you know what? Yes, maybe there is more that I could be doing right now, but I've given this my all, I've done what I can, and I can find happiness in that. So it's allowing yourself to grow and move forward in a way that you're actually recognizing your progress and finding the fulfillment along the way. This is one of the biggest things I see time and time again with the people that I deal with, where they're not happy and they're unfulfilled because they're always focusing on what they haven't done well enough. And it's just really getting and breaking that cycle. Because if you don't, you're always going to be focusing on what's wrong. And this is why, for me, the book goes through these 7 different areas that for every single one of us, in one way or another, we're holding on to, and it's stopping us from actually finding happiness and gratitude.
Yeah. And how can we stop this? How can we stop being harsh on ourselves?
For me, the starting point is recognizing and being aware on what you've actually done. Because if you're always focusing on the future and you're focusing on where you want to get to, you're not going to be in the present. So it's just taking time to recognize, okay, do you know what? This is what I've achieved. This is what's gone right. This is the progress I've made. And internalizing and coming to terms with, actually, you gave this your all and you did your best. And that's not saying lowering your standards, but it's just being aware on what you've actually put into it. Because if you're just completely oblivious to that and you're always just focusing on where you haven't done enough or what you still have to achieve, you're living in the future. So you have to pull it into the present. And this goes back to what we spoke about before of tracking and monitoring your journey and really recognizing how far you've come and where you've shown up and done your best. Because if you haven't put in the effort, then obviously you're going to beat yourself up and you're going to feel bad about it. But if you can look at your progress and what you've done and you can say, do you know what? I've put in the work. I've done my best. I've worked hard on this. That's where a lot of the time you can start actually feeling better about it. So it all comes from having that awareness over what you're actually doing. Because if you're just getting caught up in what's happening, you're never going to be able to feel the moment and what's going on.
One of the things that are guaranteed to connect you to gratitude is going out in nature. I love nature, and seeing how much plastic waste we are producing made me think of ways of cutting back. One thing I'm always throwing in my recycling is those huge laundry detergent bottles. But did you know, 500 million of those bottles end up in landfills and oceans every single year? That's why I made the switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. They come in plastic-free packaging, so they're more eco-friendly than traditional detergent. It's an easy way to get clean clothes without all the plastic waste. Get 40% off with your subscription at earthbreeze.com/gratitude. That's earthbreeze.com/gratitude. I've also included a link in the resources section of this episode so that you can easily access it with just one tap. This show is sponsored by Liquid IV. You know by now that my favorite beverage is water. It keeps me going physically, mentally, and emotionally. Keeping hydrated is key, especially during the holidays when we're always on the go. From the cold outside to the much too hot interiors, we tend to sweat and to forget about the core good habits that end up making us feel drained. With convenient packets of Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier or Sugar-Free Hydration Multiplier, you get 8 vitamins and nutrients, 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, and no artificial sweeteners. Making a smoothie or a fruit juice can be cumbersome, but with the true-to-fruit flavors, you and your family will keep hydrated in a much more enjoyable way. Dare, pour, live more. One stick plus 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Powered by LIV HydraScience, an optimized ratio of electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients that turn ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. Even more so, it's non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Stay hydrated through the holidays with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code GRAT at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code GRAT at liquidiv.com. Mm,
definitely, definitely. And this links, in my view, to our ability to not compare with others. How can we go about that as well?
Yeah, this is actually another one of the central themes of the book, because I find that for far too many people, the reason why they're not happy is they're constantly comparing themselves to everyone else. You see it all the time. People go on social media and they're scrolling and they're feeling bad about that person's on their dream holiday or that other person's cramming another 6 a.m. workout. And you see all these things and you build up mental stories about what they mean. But at the end of the day, what you have to remember is people only show you what they want you to see, meaning what you actually view on social media is someone else's highlight reel. So it's completely unfair to compare what's going on in your life to the best bits of someone else's. And you also don't know truly what's going on. Like that person who's on the dream holiday, they could have maxed out their credit card. Or that person who's in the gym at 6 a.m., they could be doing that because they've got an unhappy marriage and they're trying to get away. And it's their only place where they can have some headspace. So it's just all about recognizing that actually you don't know what's going on in that person's life. And at the end of the day, it's irrelevant, because even if that person's amazing and having the time of their life, then great, good for them. It's all about recognizing that you don't have to compare yourself to others because you're on your own path and your own journey. And this is why the guidance that I give in the book of the way that you stop comparing yourself to other people is, firstly, you have to know what you want. You need to know, do you know what? This is the life that I want to be living. Because when you have that clarity, you can see what other people achieve and you'd be like, amazing, good for them. I don't want that though. I want this, and you can focus on it. And step number two is you have to get a tunnel vision where you block out everything else and you just focus on yourself. Because if you don't, you're always going to fall into that comparison trap. So going back to the first point, I'll give you a perfect example of this. When I first started my business, a big part of the reason why was because I wanted to work for myself. I wanted to do my own hours. I wanted to build a life of freedom. But a couple of years into it, a few of my friends were doing really well. they were advancing in their career, they were settling down, they were having kids, and I started to feel like I was failing. I was like, compared to them, I'm not where I should be in life. And then I realized, you know what? I didn't want any of those things. I didn't want a career. I didn't want to be tied to a mortgage with kids. I wanted to travel, to see the world, to live my own life. So it was an unfair playing field that I was comparing myself on. But the reason why I felt that way was because I hadn't internalized what I actually wanted. And when I did, and I put that into perspective, I could just block it out, be happy for them, and focus on my own life. So like I said, the way that you break that trap is figure out what it is you truly want, and then get a tunnel vision focusing on your goals.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. When you know what you want and who you are, it's much easier to see other people's success or achievements in a different way, and maybe just get inspired if that's the case, or just be happy for them. I think this is the best place to be in, and by knowing what you want and who you are, everything is much more clear, and you don't feel the need actually to compare that much, because you know that it's just something else. It's a different kind of life that they choose, that they chose, and you're on your way. And if we think about the other points that we mentioned, the fact that we appreciate where we are and our progress, that makes it so much easier for us to enjoy the ride, to enjoy the whole process, and like you said, to keep having ambitious goals and to keep wanting to evolve and be better in all aspects of life.
Yeah, it just goes back to being aware of what you want and the life you want to create, and also recognizing that just because someone else is winning doesn't mean that you're losing. Because a lot of people get caught and they're like, oh, if all of these people are doing really well, that means I'm doing badly. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It's just recognizing that, do you know what? Other people are on their own path and they're going to have successes. And that's amazing. Like when you start building other people up and you feel happiness for the fact that they're achieving what they want, the world becomes a better place. Like we don't have to live in a situation where everything's all about, other people need to be failing for me to feel like I'm doing well. That just brings resentment and also unhappiness. So I'm a big believer in just going in of wanting to build other people up, to want other people to win, because that means that they're actually living a happier life. So it's just internalizing that, do you know what? You're on your own path. Focus on what you want, and also cheer for everyone else around you as well.
Exactly. And I also wanted to get to another interesting point that I've seen you mention. So there is this light when it comes to success, but there's also the shadow of success. What is that shadow of success?
So for me, whenever you shine a light on something, there's a shadow as well. And a lot of people over-glamorize and have this idea of what success actually is. And it's everywhere you look. You just go on social media, you see these people where they've built up the mind that running a business and being successful is all about private planes and fancy parties and endless cash, whereas anyone who's actually been on the other side of that knows that that couldn't be any further from the truth. The reality is that running a business and reaching a high level of success is incredibly stressful. You're in a situation where there's so much pressure on you to perform and deliver. You're working ridiculous hours. You're pushing yourself to the limit in order to actually follow through. And a lot of people only focus on the positive without recognizing how difficult that actually is. And I'm not taking away saying that it's not luxurious and all of those things, but it's just recognizing that there's two sides to every story. Like the amount of people that I work with who on paper have it all, they've got the big house, they've got the cash, they've got the successful businesses, but internally, they're absolutely miserable. In order to get to where they are, they've sacrificed their relationships, they're not connected to their kids, their marriages are in turmoil, their health is completely spiraling out of control, and they've got so much pressure on them, they can't actually enjoy what they're doing. So that's why, for me, it's all about understanding what's actually going on there, because the issue with this as well is people put on this facade. They try and convince everyone else that they've got it all together because they feel like they have to uphold this image, which then reinforces the idea that everything is just sunshine and rainbows, when in reality, it's actually a very different situation.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. And this is how things are. There are always two sides of the story. And going back to what you mentioned before, what we see as success isn't always just that. It's there's another part of the story that we don't know, and that's why in my view, it's important for us to define what success is for us, because it might seem that the kind of success that we see everywhere is what we want. But in many situations, when we get there one way or another, we realize that it's not actually that. And we can still have the kind of success that other people look up to, but it might not be what we actually enjoy and what we actually feel as success, as being fulfilled and happy.
Again, it goes back to understanding what you actually want and what's going to make you happy. Because if you're just building up in your mind based on an image that you see on the internet of what you think success has to look like, that's always going to set you up for disappointment, because you don't know if that person's actually happy. I've lost count of the amount of conversations I've had with people where you go on their LinkedIn and it's just all smiles, winning awards, everything in their life looks like it's amazing. And then they get on the phone with me and they're breaking down. I had one client come to me who their business went through this huge period of growth. Everything was going amazing. They were now set to grow even further, and they were aiming to double or if not triple in size over the next 12 months. And he was just like, I don't know if I've got it in me. It's like, it's taken everything out of me to get to this point. I don't know if I've got anything left in the gap, the tank, to keep pushing forward. But he would never admit that publicly, because if he did, there'd be so much turmoil over his company. So he's just internalizing and bottling that up. And that's why, going back to what I said, you have to understand that people only show you what they want you to see. And their life that you see online is their highlight reel. And you don't know what's happening on the other side of that. And this is why, ultimately, I believe we have to go in with a level of compassion, understanding that every single person, regardless of how successful you may think they are, is having their own challenges and problems. Everyone is going through battles that we don't even realize. And when we have that compassion and empathy, that's how we can not only stop comparing ourselves to others, we can also connect with them on a deeper level. And that's where that awareness and just stopping to understand what's going on is so important.
Yeah. And it's great that there are people like you that understand this and have seen this firsthand, and are able to help these people as well. Because you, as do I, want for them to have the kind of success that's more meaningful as well. Like, aside from the exterior success, to also feel good in their shoes, and to be able to enjoy life more, not just put up a facade of what they want other people to see them as. So yeah, it's good to know that in all of this duality, we have people that are aware of these things and think about how these people can be helped as well, because they might seem that they have it all together, and it's the case for many other people in general. But they actually need some help, and yeah.
Yep. One thing I think that we're all guilty of in one way or another, though, is putting off our happiness. Regardless of who you are, what you're doing in your life, we all have this tendency to really just put off the things that we want, saying that we'll get to them eventually, whether that's time for your family, to focus on your health, to enjoy your hobbies, whatever it is. We get so pulled into everyday problems that we say to ourselves, once you achieve that next goal, that next milestone, that next threshold, that's when you'll take some time off. You'll prioritize your health, you'll be more present with your family, you'll do something for yourself. But isn't that what you said the last time? and the time before that. And we just get stuck in this never-ending cycle, chasing things that aren't actually allowing us to live the life that we want. And this is why, for me, it's all about having that awareness of what is ultimately going to make you happy. And how do you then start letting go of the things that are stopping you from living that life? And that goes back to the core theme of the book that I spoke to you about, because in Maybe You Should Give Up, it is all about helping you let go of all of these things that are stopping you from being happy right now. It's about getting you out of your own head, getting you to better deal with the stress of everyday life, and getting you to actually be at a point where you can prioritize the things that matter most. Because at the end of the day, for me, if you achieve amazing things, but you're not happy, then what's the point? So it's all about figuring out, okay, how do you have it all? How do you put yourself in situations where you can go after what you want, but you can be in the moment and find that fulfillment along the way with it?
Exactly. Exactly. Of course, it's not always easy, and we all always need to find the balance, to look for the balance, because we can do many of the things that we want and that bring us happiness, but there are also challenges regardless. And I think that's such an important part, to not put off our happiness and to think that, okay, we'll do something that's gonna make us happy, and just put it off to in the future at some random point in time when we achieve something. Yeah, it's important to think about this and to enjoy the journey and to not forget about what we ultimately want out of life and out of how we live our days. Thank you so much, Byron, once again for being on the podcast, for sharing your wisdom and your experience. I really had a great time, and I'm happy we did this.
No, thank you for having me on. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day, or maybe even their life, much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.